بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. قال الله تعالى: قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله واسع عليم. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله تعالى قال: من عادى لي وليا فقد آذنته بالحرب، وما تقرب إلي عبدي بشيء أحب إلي مما افترضت عليه، وما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه، فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به، وبصره الذي يبصر به، ويده التي يبطش بها، ورجله التي يمشي بها، وإن سألني أعطيته، ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه. This chapter is about talking about the signs by which we can tell if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person, this person or not. And therefore it's very important, because many times we feel that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are doing everything according to what we are supposed to do according to the Sharia of Islam. And especially in that regard, if any person will keep on getting a lot of wealth, he's having good work, his business is running very well, that person feels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blessing me, he's happy with me, and this is a sign that Allah loves me. This is why I'm getting all of this wealth. Which is totally misunderstanding. Having wealth, having good business, getting wealthy or healthy is not a sign of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this health and this wealth to even non-Muslims. And this is never a sign of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are the signs of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how can we tell that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us? And whatever we are doing in our life is in accordance with the Sharia of Islam and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would like us to do? These things will be discussed in this chapter, in today's session, so that we can find out, not about others, but at least about our souls, that how can we tell that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inshallah pleased with us and we are doing the right things. Because the most important thing in this life is to have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If a person gets everything in this life, becomes millionaire, and he has everything that he needs, no hardship whatsoever in this life. But that person does not please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with that person. That person is in total loss. This is just like giving someone a poison in the form of a candy. You give someone a nice candy, a candy that you know that this child likes. And that candy is full of poison, but it's coated by the chocolate that is on top. The coating is chocolate. So the child feels that I get something great. And I found something real great. And as soon as the child will take a bite of that, that will be the end of his life. So same thing, having too much of this worldly gain sometime becomes a bite of the poison coated by chocolate. Because the person feels that now, because I'm having so much of wealth, he feels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now pleased with me. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves me. This is why He's giving me so much. And that person continues doing the wrong things, continues doing the evils, because he feels that Allah is pleased with him. And in spite of his using interest, taking mortgage, he's still making a lot of money, so he feels Allah is pleased with me and he's not upset with me because of using that interest and that mortgage. So I can continue doing that. He has frames of pictures hanging all around his wall, on every wall of his home. And in spite of all of those pictures in his home, he's having a peace of mind, he's not going through hardships and difficulties at home. So he feels that having these pictures is okay and Allah is pleased with me. So I can continue having pictures, in fact I can have more pictures. So this becomes exactly the bite, having a bite of that poison that was coated by chocolate. So the child feels that he's eating a chocolate. He might take another bite. The poison was mixed with sugar. Now it's sweet. The person feels it's something very nice. I can eat. It's so sweet, it's so tasty. But as he will eat it more, he's hurting himself more. Same thing, it happens with the worldly gain. When the person does not go through hardship sometimes and is doing haram things, so the person feels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with me in spite of doing all of this haram, and he continues doing the haram. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us some signs of the love of Allah, some things that prove if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the person, and how can we tell about ourselves that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves us. The first ayah in that regard Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi have mentioned here is the most important ayah about the subject. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the people, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you love Allah, then what do we need to do in order for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to love us? Of course, we always claim that we love Allah. I don't think there is any person in the world who doesn't claim that. In fact, not only Muslims, even non-Muslims, they claim that they love God. And at the same time, they also claim that God love you and love them. God loves them. In fact, with all of my experience going to churches, Christians, the only thing they talk about is Jesus loves you. That's the only thing they talk about. Jesus loves you. There is nothing else. This is the beginning of the lecture and that's the end of the lecture. They have nothing else to see. After playing a whole drama, it starts with Jesus loves you, and at the end also will end at Jesus loves you. Once I had some of these missionary people, this is about more than 10 years back, they came to visit. They knocked at my door and they asked me if I was interested in Christianity. I said sure. So I invited them in the house. When they came in and sat there, we had a long conversation. I don't want to go through all of that. We'll be wasting our time now. But finally, the point I want to mention here, that finally, there was a woman who was the leader of the whole group. She tells me, she closed her eyes for a moment and she pretended that she is talking to Jesus. And she told me that Jesus says He loves you. So I told her, tell Jesus that I love Him too. So she told me, okay, she closed her eyes and she started moving her lips and she said, okay. I told her, I said, did you tell him my name? Oh, no, no, what's your name? Because she doesn't know my name. She asked me, oh, what's your name? I said, ask Jesus. Aren't you talking to Jesus? Doesn't he know my name? He's the Lord. Supposed to be, according to their understanding. So, there she got stuck now. I'm asking her to ask Jesus what's my name and tell me what's my name. And she's going back and forth, running here and there, right and left. No, I want you to tell me, if you're talking to Jesus, then tell Jesus to tell me what my name is. And finally, when I saw her started sweating badly, I told her my name. So she closed her eyes and says, oh, Jesus, Abraham says he loves you. Okay. That's good. It was a long story. Finally, she realized that this is the wrong person to talk to and she left. But anyway, this is one thing that they normally try to talk about. Jesus loves you. Another said, every religion talks about this, that you should love God and God loves you. But what's the sign? If everyone is claiming and every person in the world is claiming that he loves me, then I have to really know who's right and who's wrong. I can't just run after everyone and say, okay, all of you people are so nice because you said you love me. I have to know who really loves me. So I'll tell you, okay, do this work for me. And the work is a little hard. I call you 3 o'clock in the morning and say, you know, I need you quickly. I have some work to do. Can you please come to my home right now? And say, oh, I'm too tired right now. Some of you see my number in your caller ID and say, don't pick up the phone. So now I can tell who loves me and who doesn't love me. If you really love me, you will get up. You'll be waiting for my call. You'll rush to get me to come and do the work. And if that was just a claim, you'll hang up, you'll give me an excuse, you won't pick up the phone. There will be one of these things there. That will tell me that this person was just claiming. There is no reality behind it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah tells us, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ, if you love Allah, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me, which means follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah will love you. So now a person comes to us and he gives us a long lecture about how much he loves Allah. His dress is against the sunnah. His look is against the sunnah. The way of talking is against the sunnah. The way of dealing with people is against the sunnah. Everything he does in his life is against the sunnah, and he says that he loves Allah and he loves Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should know that it's just a claim. Nothing more than that. Because Allah sets the sign, in kuntum tuhibbun Allah, if you love Allah, then follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The more we follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in our life, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us. That's the sign. And that's the only way we can tell that we really love Allah, and we can prove by following the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Following him in what? Now, of course, this will be the same thing, same point, that I call you 3 o'clock in the morning, so you start giving me excuses. I call you about noontime when you are free and you have nothing else to do. You say, okay, that's fine, let us go to him. You know, at least it will be something to tell him, you know, you called me that day and I came to you for your help. So this is exactly what we do. Some things that we feel they are very easy, let's go ahead and do the sunnah. Because so we can say on the day of judgment, you know, we followed you. We'll go to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we say, you know, I did such and such sunnahs. But the other sunnahs that we feel they are a little difficult, we find excuses for ourselves. Not for not doing them. You know, this is too difficult. This is America. I have my children. I have my brothers. I have family. My friends don't want me to do it. People will laugh at me if I would do it. All of these excuses. If I wear this dress, you know, people will start staring at me. These are excuses that we are giving to ourselves. It's a call. You can call it, this is a call in the 3 o'clock in the morning, and this is why we are not ready for it. And this will prove that we really do not have the love that we claim. It's only some words that we are uttering by our mouth without meaning what we are saying, and without understanding what we say. When we say we love our children, and we all, there was a day when we were babies, ask your parents, and you can see also, and those who have experienced, they know it, that when the babies, infants, they get sick, they cry, what do parents do? If the child is crying the whole night, the parents will be spending whole night awake, trying to console the child, concur the child, do something for the child, so the child will at least have the peace of mind and will go to sleep. Parents are not going to put the child in the second room. Next door, go and put the child in the next door, because he's crying too much. He doesn't let us sleep. We need to sleep tonight. We have a lot of work to do tomorrow. Why? We have the love for our children. We love those children. So we don't just throw them in this other room and go to sleep for ourselves. If someone will laugh at us, that your child cries so much and still you carry your child, put him away. If people will laugh at us, we might break our ties with those people. No matter how close relatives they might be, if our own parents will tell us that forget about your son. If our parents will tell us, forget about your son. Don't worry about your son. Keep him in the other room. He cries too much. Keep your child in the other room. Don't feed him. We will fight with our own parents, because we love our children. But here we say, you know, people will laugh at me. Who will laugh at me? The non-Muslims will laugh at me. This is why I don't want to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The non-Muslims will laugh at me. This is why I'm not following these sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah. We are ignoring the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of our Prophet, for who? For the kuffar. For non-Muslims. For the enemies of Allah. we are letting the orders of Allah just go like that. And yet we claim that we love Allah and we love the Rasul, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Doesn't that prove that this is just a claim then? No reality behind it? So this tells us, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ If you love Allah, then we have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as I said, in everything of our life, we cannot pick and choose them. Then we have to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in everything in our life. Our way of dressing, our way of eating, our way of drinking, our way of walking, our way of talking to people. Everything that we perform in our life has to be in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much that Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu, once he was traveling between Makkah and Medina, and there was a place where he went and everyone knew that he went over there to use the bathroom. He went and he came back, and later on he performed the salah without making the wudu. How come? So people asked him, you went over there to use the bathroom, and now you are doing the salah without making the wudu. How can you do that? Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhu said, I did not use the bathroom there. But we saw you going over there and sitting there. He said, yes, that's true. I went and sat over there because when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was traveling, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the bathroom over there at that place. So I was just sitting the way he sat over there. I could not dare to use bathroom at his place. I could not dare to use the bathroom where he was using the bathroom. I cannot throw the najasa where the Prophet of Allah was sitting. But I was sitting over there just following that sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of sitting over there in that way. This is how much they used to love him. This is how much they loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That doing each and everything exactly the way he did it. And we know it. We have that experience. We feel, oh, I don't think that that's possible. It's too much and we can't do that. But you know it for yourself. When you play basketball. And while you're playing, you're about to throw the ball. You can just throw it very simply, but you don't do that. You'll make all the actions, movements, exactly you have seen that player, one of those stars doing it. You will follow that same action and movement, going, moving your hands and moving your feet and jumping and all of that. For what? Is not because you will be able to throw the ball better. It's because you have seen him doing it, so you want to do it too. Isn't that a reality? It's true. Not only this. The way they dress while playing, we like to dress the same way. When we dress the same way, we feel today I'm playing better. Everyone feels that you are not doing good at all. But you feel for yourself, in your heart, oh, I'm doing it. See, I look like him. If you have seen him once, folding his sleeve up, and then playing it, playing the game and scoring, you will fall the sleeve up and you will play the same way and try to score exactly the same way. And if you get it, that's it. You feel today you are the highest person in the world. This is exactly what we do. This tells us when we love someone, we follow all the steps of that person. When we love these people, we follow their steps. We have seen them playing in such a special way. We play in this exactly the same way. If we love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then of course when we eat, we have read in the hadith how he used to eat. then we will try to eat exactly the way he used to eat. We read in the hadith how he used to dress, then we will dress exactly the way he used to dress. We will try to follow each and every step in our life according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, follow his lifestyle in everything that we do in our life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the same thing in Quran al-Kareem. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. Say, if you love Allah, follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُحْبِبْكُمْ اللَّهِ. Allah will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. And He will forgive your sins. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu narrates a hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ عَادَانِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. I declare a war. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this hadith Qudsi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Man adani waliyan faqad adantuhu bil harb. A very strong hadith. Whoever has animosity against any of my friends, Allah is saying, I declare a war against that person. Allah declares a war against a person who carries animosity in his heart against any of the friends of Allah. This tells us that part of our love for Allah is to love the people of Allah. Because if we hate the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves and they are friends of Allah, and then we say to Allah that I love you, Allah says no, I don't love you. I don't love you because you hate my friends. If someone will come to me and he tells me that I love you, but I hate your father, I'll tell him out. I don't love you. I don't want to see your face. I don't want to talk to you. You hate my father and you love me. I don't want you. So if that person really loves me, he will have to tell me that I really love your father too. And same thing. Might be brothers, might be sisters, might be children, might be parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the same thing. That we say we love Allah and we hate Allah's friends, and we say, I don't like these people who are serving Allah, who are helping the deen of Allah, who are following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We hate those people and we say we love Allah. It's contradictory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept us as His lovers, and He does not love us. He does not accept us as one of the good servants of His. So in order for us to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is another condition. Of course, we have to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have to love all the good people, the virtuous people in this ummah. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَوَّلَهَا. People who will come later in the ummah will keep on cursing at the people who were before them. What does this mean? Nowadays we see it. People in the masajid, they talk against all the greatest scholars that served Islam for years and years. Those people who devoted their lives for Islam, like the four imams, Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Shafi, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi wa jama'in. People cursed those scholars. People cursed all the muhaddiseen, at mufassireen, at fuqaha. All of those people who devoted their lives, day and night they were serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were serving the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't even have a clue how much knowledge those people had of deen, and how much they served the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How close these people were to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we just talk against those people, feeling that we are better Muslims than those people. If we curse the people of Allah, the close people of Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then I don't love you anymore. And if you say that you love me, it's just a claim, I don't love you and you have nothing to do with me. And in fact, فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, Allah says, I declare a war against the person who hates any of my friends. Such a dangerous thing. And imagine, if Allah declares a war against a person, do we feel, and can any person say that that person will go to Jannah? How can that person go to Jannah if he's having a war against Allah? So, this point has to be very clear in our mind, that loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means we have to love the friends of Allah. And friends of Allah, in awliya'uhu illa al-muttaqoon, the friends of Allah are those who are God-fearing people, who follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who obey the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who follow the sharia of Islam. Those are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, the greatest people in this ummah were sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah, Allah fi ashabi. Fear Allah regarding my sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. La tattakhidhuhum gharadan min ba'di. Do not make them the target for your animosity and your bad blames after my death. Don't blame my sahaba. Don't make them the target for your blames after my death. فَمَنْ أَحَبَّهُمْ فَبِحُبِّي أَحَبَّهُمْ. Whoever loves my companions, my sahaba, he loves them because he loves me. وَمَنْ أَبْغَضَهُمْ فَبِبُغْضِي أَبْغَضَهُمْ. Whoever hates my sahaba, he really does not hate them, he hates me. This is why he talks against my sahaba. Because they were the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a great certificate in Quran. All the sahaba had this certificate from Quran. What does that certificate say? Does it say his MD or MA? These letters mean nothing. These alphabetical letters mean nothing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a certificate that says, radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. This is the certificate they had in Quran. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu anhu. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Allah. And this is exactly what we were talking about. Love of Allah. If Allah says about a person that I'm pleased with this person, I love this person. Now who are we to say he's a bad person? Do we have any right now to say that he's not a good person? Of course not. Now we have no right to talk against that person's mistakes, if that person have done any mistake, because Allah, the Creator, says, I have forgiven his mistake. If Allah wants to take him to Jannah, are we going to throw him to hellfire? Who are we? So, same thing, the friends of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ عَادَانِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Whoever will carry animosity against any of my friends and against any of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, I declare a war against that person. So therefore, this is a very important point we have to keep in mind, that never carry animosity against the people of Allah, against the God-fearing people. Yes, if we don't benefit from them, if we stay away from them, that's different. Even though we are recommended that we spend more time with them, because Allah's blessings descend on their hearts, so we can get the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are coming to these people, that Allah is showering on the hearts of those people. Imagine in Quran al-Kareem, in Surah Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about some youth who went into a cave. I'm sure most of you have heard that story. Some youth who went into a cave, and I don't want to repeat that story, it's a long story, but the point I want to mention, when those youth, they were going into a cave because they were escaping from those people who were forcing them to worship idols. They wanted to go and hide in a mountain so that they can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because all the people around them were kuffar, non-Muslims. So these people, they escaped from those people, from their relatives, parents, everyone. They left their town and they went and hid in one of the caves. As they were going to the cave, there was a dog who started following them. A dog started following these youth. When these youth went into the cave, they went to sleep, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them go to sleep for 309 years. The dog also was sitting at the entrance of the cave and he went to sleep over there and he died over there. Because that dog went with those virtuous people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that dog in Quran, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that one of the animals that will go to Jannah from this universe, from this world, will be that dog. That dog will go to Jannah. Why? Because he went with those virtuous people. So this is the benefit of spending time with them. But I was saying, even if we don't get the chance to spend time with them, or we don't feel that I can spend a lot of time with this person, at least we should never carry the animosity against those people. Leave them alone. So that we won't get away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by hurting their feelings or carrying hurt feelings against those people. So this is one thing. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَطْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no one can get closer to me. No one has any mean, any way to get closer to me better than using the fara'id, fulfilling all the fara'id of Islam. Whatever is fard in Islam, those are the things that people have to do. The first in their life, those have to be the priorities of every Muslim in order to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which simply means, if someone is not doing the fara'id, is not doing the salah, does not keep the fast, does not pay the zakah, doesn't want to go for hajj, and does not want to do any of these things, or one of these things, and that person is doing a lot of virtuous things, a lot of good things, feeling that this person is getting very great, and because of doing too many nafils, and because of spending too much wealth in the path of Allah, he's getting very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person is mistaken, he's wrong, he's not getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if he will spend billions of dollars in the path of Allah, as long as he does not do the salah and fulfill all the faraid of Islam, he's not getting closer to Allah. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُ إِلَيْهِ. No one can get closer to me by any means better than things that I have made obligatory and fard on the people. That's the first thing that comes in our life. Then, the thing after that, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. The person keeps on getting closer to me by performing nawafil till I love that person. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us how He loves people. And this is exactly what we were talking about, that how can we know that Allah loves us? وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. The person keeps on getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by doing the nawafil. So each time we do two rak'ah, we are closer to Allah. Then another two, we are even more closer to Allah. But of course, fara'id came first, as we just talked about it. Then, now we start with the nawafil. Sunnahs, after fara'id we will be doing sunnahs and then extra nafil. And every time we are adding more and more nawafil, Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as the person keeps on doing a lot of nafil, hatta uhibbahu, finally I love this person because he's doing too much nafil and he's trying very hard to get close to me. So finally I love this person then. Once I love this person, then kuntu sam'uhu alladhi yasma'u bih. I become his hearing through which he hears things. I become his eyes through which he sees things. I become his hands by which he holds things. وَرِجْلُهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And I become his feet by which he walks. What does this mean? This simply means, from there on, this person does everything in accordance with the Sharia of Islam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards this person in such a way that whatever he does with his hands, it's for the sake of Allah. Whatever he looks at by his eyes, it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, اتَّقِ فِرَاسَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِ فَإِنَّهُ يَنْظُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. When a mu'min looks at something, beware of the looking of a mu'min, because when he looks at something, he's looking with the nur of Allah, he's not looking with the worldly light. Which simply means, we need the worldly light, this light, to look at something. But when a true believer looks at something, he really has the nur of Allah, which means he gets the reality of it. He finds out the reality of it. When a true believer looks at a nice castle, huge castle, a person who does not have the true iman in his heart, he looks at the castle, he says, oh, what a great person he is. How lucky this person is. And we know that this person is a kafir. Have never said Allah once in his life. Now we look at his castle, oh, how lucky this person is. But when a true believer looks at that person's castle, he says, look at this. It looks like just a pile of dust and lumber and wood and metal that has no benefit for him. When a true believer looks at a tree, for example, a kafir looks at the tree, and another mu'min looking at the same tree, both of them might be looking at the same tree. When the kafir looks at it, says, look, the nature is working, how the nature is giving us the fruit, how this tree grew up. He will do all of his research that what are the factors behind this tree coming up, and what are the elements that bring all of this fruit. But when the true believer looks at it, he says, Subhanallah. How great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, who brought up such nice trees, who created such sweet fruit for us on this tree. And he admires Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the person who does not have iman in his heart, he will be admiring just the tree itself, or admiring the nature, or the people who did any work on this tree. So, when a person becomes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of his parts of the body work for the sake of Allah then. Then everything starts working for Islam. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then continues to say, وَإِن سَأَلَنِي أَعْطَيْتُ. If that person will ask me for anything, I will give it to him. If that person will ask me for anything, he will make dua to me, I will fulfill all of his needs. I will accept his dua. وَلَئِنِ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. And if he will seek refuge from anything, I will give him the refuge against those things. So these are the signs that Allah loves the person. There are a few more ahadith. Inshallah, we'll talk about them later on. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.